Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
If I bleed tonight, if I am sad tonight, I don't have a job to find. And if I work tonight, if I'm so tired tonight, I'll fall asleep when I'm on, when I'm home. Hey everybody, welcome to a brand new episode of the Power Slam podcast here on Patreon a day early or wherever you get your podcasts on Friday. My name is Kenny, joined as always by Finlay Martin. Finn, how are you today?
Yeah, Kenny, I'm doing all right. Yeah, not bad. How are you doing? You were on stage last night, I believe, with Scott Galland, formerly Scotty Too Hottie.
Yes, I was. And yeah, it was a very fun show. And you know, these intimate evening shows, I really enjoyed doing them because you know, there's guys who've got lots of stories to tell and they probably wouldn't be on a big stage. So, you know, if you can do these kind of intimate shows, it's good fun. Obviously, it's all been filmed, so some of it will be on YouTube over the coming months. But yeah, there was some really good stuff in there about Vince McMahon and becoming too cool and, you know, thinking that before the Too Cool and Rikishi thing, the end of 99, that he sort of saw all three of them on the chopping block. And said that that kind of saved them. And yeah, some really good stuff in there. So I think, and you know, obviously he's now a coach for AEW. He used to be a coach for NXT, so there's some stuff there to delve into. And yeah, he was just a very, I've never met a more low maintenance wrestler in my life. You know, he was all set to travel to the venue on his own. That's how low maintenance he is. And I would say, well, I'm going to have to get somebody to pick you up because you have to come in the front door past people, so let me get someone to come pick you up. So he allowed that to happen, but it's not that easy. It's not that smooth.
Well, that's it. I mean, how demanding some of these people can be, Kenny. You've told me stories that will never air, that will never be written about some of these people, prima donnas. Some of them, not all of them, of course. Some of them, right?
Some of, yeah. And I mean, the thing is, it's like, so, and you end up hearing these stories being corroborated. You know, you end up hearing these stories being corroborated by other people, which is, you know, is good to hear. But yeah, so it was a fun show. We do have some stuff. We obviously Godfather coming up in a week and a half, starting in Glasgow next Sunday on the 10th of December. So we've got those three shows, Glasgow, Manchester, London, to finish the year off. And then there are some kind of things we're looking at in 2024. A mix of intimate evening stuff and bigger stuff. But yeah, it's all going good. So, but the big news of the day, obviously, Finn, is Mr. Phil Brooks, Mr. CM Punk. Because as we left it after Survivor Series on what's going down, we're very curious to see what was going to happen. So Raw on Monday was commercial free for the first hour, and they, you know, they it was going to be a big show. They were advertising obviously Randy Orton and CM Punk. So Orton opened the show, and I've got to say, Finn, Randy Orton was on fire in this opening promo. He was so up for it. I thought,
yeah, he certainly was, and you could see he was overwhelmed with emotion. And it was funny, Wade Barrett referred to him as Happy Randy, which is quite a contrast from how he used to be. And you could tell that he was deeply moved by the whole thing. And, you know, that's fairly obvious why. You know, he thought it was over, didn't he? He thought it was over in 2022 and probably parts of 2023. He thought he was never going to wrestle again. He's back. You know, he's still over. I mean, Triple H, Paul Levesque alluded to this at the Survivor Series press conference, where you go through this, you know, anxiety as a performer of whether or not the people will still care and whether or not you can still do it or not. And I think it's, unless you've been a wrestler or you've been in the performance industry, I'm not quite sure if you really grasp how much of a barrier that is that you have to overcome. Or, you know, sometimes it's not a barrier at all. As Orton discovered at Survivor Series, he returned and he was super as over as he'd ever been. Probably more over than he'd ever been. Yeah. And this felt like an extension of that. And yeah, he had a really good night on the mic. And then in the ring later, he was confronted by Rhea Ripley in the opening segment of Raw. He was talking about how he had all these receipts lined up for the Bloodline. And, you know, he said he came back because he accepted Cody's offer, you know, and he said he was about making moments. Then Rhea Ripley walked out wearing a black trench coat. She meant business in that trench coat, Kenny.
Yes.
And Ripley welcomed Orton back, but was disingenuous, of course. And Ripley said that Orton had been upstaged at Survivor Series, then said that the Judgment Day had taken over in his absence and were dripping in gold. And Rhea said that they were going to put Orton out permanently. And Orton said, you know, Daddy was back. Orton said that nobody told him what to do. And then JD McDonagh and Dominic Mysterio attacked Orton from behind. Orton RKO'd JD again and then challenged Dominic to a match later on the show. And Dominic was hilarious at ringside. He was just petrified. Like, oh, no, I'm going to have to wrestle Randy Orton later on. So, yeah, it was a really hot opening segment.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the best part of the Randy Orton segment was, and it was something that, again, we talk a lot about now, about the nuances of the stories in WWE and leaving you with kind of nuggets of things that could come up in the future, was that Orton did say, you know, I have receipts for every member of the Bloodline.
Yes.
And that obviously plays into, well, Jey Uso, you know, he does speak to Randy later, and Randy's like, as long as you're not in the Bloodline, we're good. But, I mean, he's the Viper. This has always been Orton's gimmick, where at any moment he could basically strike and, you know, take Jey out. So we've kind of got that on the back burner. We figure we've got Reigns and Orton at Royal Rumble. So, yeah, I mean, you couldn't really ask for a better return, a better reception for Randy Orton.
That's it. He was all over the show, and either he was there or people were talking about him, whether it was Cody Rhodes or, as you said, Jey approached Randy backstage and said how sorry he was about the way things had gone down in the, you know, back in the day. And Orton said, you know, I've spoken to Cody. I've been watching you since you come over to Raw. You know, he said, let's let bygones be bygones. But, you know, and Jay's like, well, are we good? Yeah, we're good. You know, if Cody trusts you, then I trust you. You know, I'm not through with the other members of the Bloodline, mm-hmm. but, you know, I'm through with you in terms of, you know, vengeance, as long as you're no longer associated with the Bloodline. Jey said, I'm not. But I mean, we don't know about that either. I mean, Jey could end up back with the Bloodline next year. That could potentially happen. And then Orton then had the match with Dominic Mysterio. I mean, he didn't take too many bumps. You can see that he's just easing his way back into it, which is the way it should be.
Yeah.
You know, why go out there and, you know, take unnecessary risks? I mean, every wrestler, you know, let's be honest, there's so many wrestlers take unnecessary risks in TV matches. And Orton's clearly playing it safe, steady as he goes. And, you know, he's really over. I mean, he's worked out that if he just does his signature stuff, and for at least for a while, and certainly in TV matches against someone like Dominic Mysterio, he shouldn't be going 15 minutes and taking 30 bumps, should he, Kenny?
No,
you know,
no,
take it easy. Go in there, entertain the audience, do what's required. You know, there's lots of people who can learn from that, Kenny, in wrestling. Lots of people can learn from this match.
I also loved the moment where Rhea Ripley was out with Orton earlier on, and she, you know, she's obviously talking about being mummy, and then he said, "Daddy's back."
Daddy's back. Yeah, Daddy was back.
So obviously we've got Orton's return, you know, like we've said, you know, couldn't really gone better. And then the show was going to close with CM Punk. It had been advertised that night. And he came out and did a promo. And I think that people, obviously with Punk the last few years, and really over his, you know, the last 10 years minimum, expect sort of controversial promos from him, or, you know, barbs to be thrown and all that. And we didn't get that. We got a kind of subdued kind of 6-7 minute promo. He said that I'm home, this is where I belong, and
feels like a family reunion backstage, and said that it was hugs, and you know, things are really pleasant backstage, and everyone's been welcoming of my return. Well, nearly everyone, with a reference to Seth Rollins, and we'll get to that in a moment.
So overall, I mean, some people were kind of disappointed because I guess they were hoping for a bit more juice from him, because that's kind of what you get usually with Punk. But other people are maybe thinking it is a deliberate thing to play into a story that might involve Seth Rollins. How did you perceive the promo?
Oh, yeah, well, it's all about telling the story, isn't it? You don't go out there and give everything away week one. I mean, unless it's a one-night comeback, which... as far as we know, it's not good. Well, this was night two. Unless it's like a one-week comeback, we should say, and hopefully it won't be.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, why would you go out there and say everything? And, I mean, I think it's... a lot of people just don't have much patience. This is not a new thing. You know, this is this is just the way things are now, and this is the way it's been for a very long time. And they expect everything now. It's like, no. You know, delayed gratification. They're telling a story here. I thought he said more than enough. You know, he said the best in the world is back, you know, and it was really funny. Just as before the show went off the air, he mouthed into the camera, "I'm not here to make friends, I'm here to make money," which, you know, I thought was quite funny. You know, but yeah, he's, you know, he's saying, you know, "I love you" to the fans. "This is where I belong." He mentioned that people had never stopped chanting his name. I mean, what was telling to me was obviously got the new merch out already. They don't mess about, do they, Kenny? The new teams are out and lots of people were wearing them. And there were some young kids there, I guess probably 8 or 9, who obviously weren't even alive, you know, when he was last in WWE. And they were, you could tell they were really excited to see him. And you sort of forget, don't you? Because he's like just turned 45, hasn't he? Yes. And you think, well, you know, he's only going to appeal to older fans who remember him from 2011 or, you know, 2013. It's like, no, he's obviously got this appeal to a younger audience as well. But I thought it was very well done for what it was. And I think it would have been a mistake for him to give any more away than he did. But I mean, you can't please all the people all the time, Kenny. And to, if you try, then you'll, you know, you just, it's futile to even try. I thought he set a lot of things up here. You know, he actually mentioned Seth Rollins by name, but Seth Rollins, because he didn't need to, because Seth Rollins had already done that earlier in the show. He'd acknowledged that, you know, there was this heat between him and Punk. So why would Punk then, you know, further that in his show closing promo? Leave that till next week or the week after or next month or the month after. You know, you don't rush these things. This is the art of telling a story, isn't it, Kenny?
Yeah, 100%. I do understand why people were just kind of whelmed by it and not overwhelmed that it was like an all-time great promo or whatever, because it wasn't blockbuster like he had done in the past. But at the same time, I do think they're setting things up, because I don't think you can take CM Punk seriously saying, "I'm home," in that way. And to me, that was definitely set up to be part of the story with Seth Rollins. You know, Seth Rollins calling him a hypocrite, him saying he's home, like that, to me, it felt like we're, and this is not like when, you know, 4 years ago when we would almost be on the podcast making up a story that we hope it's going to be under Vince, and it very rarely was. It feels like this is a concerted effort from the Seth hissy fit after Survivor Series.
Yeah.
Seth mentioned Punk as the hypocrite. So then Punk, you know, this guy who's like been public enemy number one, saying, "I'm home." You know, it feels just like we're setting something up here. So I think, yeah, the long game is what we're getting here. And
yeah, definitely. So, I mean, Rollins earlier, and we might as well go to that next, mm-hmm. he encouraged fans to chant CM Punk. He's like, go on, get it out of your system. And, you know, Rollins called Punk a hypocrite and said that he was somebody that don't matter at all. And then he said, you know, let's talk about something that does matter. You know, the world title that I built into the most important championship in the business. Then Drew McIntyre walked out. And Drew said that he wanted a rematch. Rollins said that Drew deserved a rematch, but not as much as others in WWE did. And then Rollins said that he was defending the belt next week against Jey Uso. And that, you know, seemed deliberately designed to antagonize Drew, which it did. Drew was livid. He saw the red mist descended, and then the red blood descended down Drew's forehead. So he headbutted Rollins, but in the process, accidentally struck the world title belt that Rollins was holding and cut his own forehead open hard way. So Drew beat down Rollins, and then Jay made the save. So, you know, that was, I thought that was a really good angle there. So we got Rollins talking about what's probably going to happen in January, his match with CM Punk. And then we had Rollins here setting up a future match with Drew McIntyre and a match with Jay. So we've got three things going on there in one segment. This didn't happen under Vince, or if it did, very, very rarely. Yeah. But we had three matches. Rollins was setting up three matches or furthered the story for three matches in that one segment.
Yeah. And I think, and I do understand that, you know, the bar was very high for what people were expecting from a Punk promo. So I understand why people were maybe a bit disappointed. But I think once you put the context of the story they're trying to tell, it'll make sense. Because, you know, him and Rollins, we talked about him and Reigns. There's a lot of big matches that they can have. So,
yeah, I mean, it's like, what do you want? CM Punk versus Seth Rollins on Raw next week? Of course that's not going to happen. And that would be, you know, reckless and wasteful and squandering a massive match and huge sort of build to that massive match if they just gave it away on TV.
Yeah. I mean, so, he did. There was the little Easter egg at the end where, I mean, and you know, people can say he didn't mean this. I am convinced he did, because when Raw was going off there, he did that little victory lap, which is the one that the Young Bucks had done when he was released. And I mean, of course, that was a deliberate thing, but at least that was a kind of, you know, I saw somebody say, you know, what's more impactful than, you know, burying your enemies, not even mentioning them.
Well, exactly. I mean, it was very subtle, and it's like, let's move on. You know, I mean, Jim Cornette,
You're not going to be building to a match.
So. No, exactly, and that's never going to happen now. And you know, it could have happened in AEW if. Anyway, we don't need to go over the reasons why it didn't happen in AEW, but it could have done. They had their chance and they blew it.
Yep.
And he's in WWE now, and he needs to concentrate on the people he's going to wrestle there. And I think what people wanted from this was some, you know, bitter, spiteful, snide, you know, burial of these guys that he used to, you know, not work with, but work in the same company with, and whom we know he had the real life heat. And with whom he never ended up having the match. So I think that's what people were wanting from this. You know, they were wanting some flame war. You know, they wanted something so that they could just then say, well, Punk's gone off the rails already. This is going to fail. And a lot of people obviously want this to fail. A lot of people want Punk to have a meltdown and quit. And maybe that will happen. It might. I hope it doesn't. It might.
Well, that's what
a lot of people want from this. They are wishing failure on CM Punk because of everything that's, well, we don't need to go over everything that's happened, but everything that's happened over the last 18 months.
But he's also got to play ball with this. So like, you know, if he was to go out there and do a sort of not unscripted, but if he was just go out and say what he wanted, then imagine he went out and said some stuff that Seth, within the context of the story, but he maybe said one thing too far, and then in night one they're annoyed at each other. You know, there's got to be trust, and by all accounts, there was a report by PW Torch and various other places that Monday was a very good atmosphere backstage, and that Punk was very nice and happy. And I mean, it's easy to be nice and happy on day two, but still, you know, he was getting on with people. People were getting on with him. There was nobody upset about it. So, you know, you've got to kind of treat it as a fresh slate.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's all about courtesy and being cordial and working together. And there are going to be problems. Of course, they're going to be. But as we've said many times previously, Kenny, the trick is diplomacy backstage, management to step in, you know, and to put the fire out before it turns into a blaze. Mm-hmm. And that's how it's supposed to work. And, you know, I'm hopeful that they'll all get on and they'll make the best of this. I think there will be some moments there, but in some ways, I think they'll be necessary because Rollins and Punk, to do this right, are going to have to say some pretty tough things about each other.
Oh, yeah, you don't want a sanitized experience with us. You want some kind of scathing, cutting remarks at some point.
Absolutely, because we want to believe it's real. Because you know, it's all about suspension of disbelief, you know, and that's like when we go to the flicks, movies, yep, or whatever our favourite series is. We want to believe that those characters, you know, really hate, you know, their adversaries or whatever, and they really feel the way they feel. So we want that from Punk and we want that from Rollins. So I think it's going to have to get quite near the knuckle, but as long as they've all got an understanding and they're all working together towards a common goal, no problem. And, you know, let's see what happens anyway. It'll be however it plays out, Kenny, it's going to be fascinating to observe.
Yes. And then the other thing from Raw I wanted to mention was Cody Rhodes has declared himself as an entrant in the 2024 Royal Rumble. And he was then interrupted by Nakamura on the big screen, who then attacked him from behind, spat the mist in his face. So it feels like Nakamura is going to be Cody's kind of December feud before we get to the Rumble. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's fine. It gives him something to do until the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a strange year for Cody, hasn't it? I mean, in some ways, maybe they should have started the Brock Lesnar thing at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
And then finished it at Survivor Series.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
But there again, what would Cody then have done post-WrestleMania to, you know, kind of soften or, you know, the impact of his loss to Reigns? So maybe he needed that Lesnar thing to distract us from what just had happened. So, you know, it's difficult to know, isn't it, what they should have done with him. I mean, we know what's coming. And, I mean, Nakamura versus Cody Rhodes. I mean, there's not much doubt over who's going to win this one. But I mean, hopefully the matches will be decent and or good even. And this will keep Cody ticking over until the Royal Rumble.
Yeah. And there's lots of stuff that's kind of, once we get into the new year, there's a lot of people around. We talked about this and what's going down about how LA Knight might be a bit of trouble with all these people back. But there's a lot of possibilities because, you know, on the Raw side with the World Heavyweight title, you've got Seth, you've got Punk, you've got, you know, people that you could insert in like Sammy or Gunther or whoever. There's lots of ways they can go. So, and Drew, of course, who is, again, really good performance on Raw. I thought the way that they played the segment where he finds out that Seth has given the title, has accepted the title shot from Jey Uso instead of him, was really good. It was really well done because, you know, Drew's screaming at him, you know, I beat him 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
You know, and it's the thing that every great heel is justified in their initial actions, which kind of turns them into a heel.
So, yeah. And then backstage afterwards, Sami Zayn confronted Drew and said that he had suffered disappointments also, you know, which plays into, you know, the Zayn Rollins match where it kind of almost looked like Zayn was going to turn heel afterwards. And Zayn said that McIntyre was acting like a spoilt little brat And Drew said that, yeah, he was going to, you know, work his way back up the ranks and starting next week in a match with Sami Zayn. And Zayn was like, oh, dear. You know, what have I got myself into? I should have just, like, you know, hidden a corner somewhere and avoided this guy. So yeah, we've got Zayn Drew next week and Rollins Jay. So that's two big matches for Raw.
Indeed. Well, let's move on to some other bits of news before we go. So Mercedes Moné is in the news because she posted a video on YouTube of her appearing to basically be healed and ready to go. So the big question seems to be, where is she going to end up? Is she going to end up in AEW? She was obviously in the crowd at All In. She was shown in the pre-show. But, you know, some people are hypothesizing that, you know, Bayley might be getting turned on by Damage Control, and then that would leave three of the four horsewomen to go up against them next year. So that could be a spot for Sasha if she was to come back. Where do you see her landing in 2024?
I don't know. I mean, the idea of her going to AEW would be a risk because there's very few big names. In fact, no big names for her to work with. Whereas there are many big names and many storylines, one of which you just spelled out, waiting for her in WWE. I mean, the flip side to that is she could go into AEW and become the top woman there. So there's really no competition for the top spot.
Yeah.
So maybe she wants to go AEW and try and build that women's division up, and she can be the hub around which everyone else revolve, which she would be. So she'd be the biggest star there by a mile in the female division. So I'm not sure what she's going to do. And I think in some ways, if I was her, I think I'd want to return to WWE. But I can see the appeal of AEW because, you know, she can be the woman. You know, yeah. It's hers for the taking, isn't it?
And if you can kind of build the division around you, you know, there's been all these, you know, stories over the years of, you know, AEW's women's division needs to be better and all this kind of stuff. And if she was the person who came in and kind of was able to help that get better, then that would be a big mantle for her to have in her career.
Yeah. But, well, if she was there, there'll be other people who currently probably aren't interested in working for AEW would suddenly think, yes, you know, AEW is the destination for me because Sasha Banks is there and I can have really good matches with her. And she can, you know, Tony Khan might give the women's division more minutes if she's the champ. I mean, who knows? I can see, you know, both destinations are appealing in different ways. So yeah. I think she's in a really strong position right now.
Yeah, she definitely is. And it's funny because last night, Britt Baker had tweeted out, either during or after the show, it must have been after the show, she tweeted out that, you know, MJF got 10 minutes of TV. Let me find the tweet, actually, so I don't want to butcher what she said here. She said, tonight's AEW Dynamite, MJF live promo time 7 minutes, Christian Cage live promo time 10 minutes, all of 2023 Dynamite, Britt Baker live promo time 0 minutes.
Wow. dear. I mean, pick it up with Tony.
Yeah. I mean, and then the other weird thing was that, so MJF had tweeted out about last night. MJF had tweeted, what was it what he said? Let me find this. He'd said something like, you know, I didn't sleep a wink in a shit ton of pain and can't get comfortable, but it's Wednesday. We got a show to put on. I hear it all.
I should mention, Kenny, this is because of his shoulder, right? His labrum?
Yeah. It's torn labrum, so he's working through that. And he said, you know, I hear it all, I read it all, I see it all. I'm wide awake in more ways than one. Let's restore the feeling, was his tweet. And then in response to that, a fan had written, or quote tweeted it, said, you've almost single-handedly destroyed the feeling. Lol. And that response to MJF was liked by Britt Baker, Sammy Guevara, and who was the other one? Jungle Boy. So, very strange.
He still works there somehow, even though he hasn't actually returned since Wembley, has he?
No,
he hasn't returned. But presumably he's still on the payroll. Why? Yes. Why is he still on the payroll?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, I feel like if you're working an angle, fine, you know, do stuff like this. But I mean, No, if I was a billionaire who owned a wrestling company and my wrestlers were liking fan tweets like that, I there'd be words being had.
Oh, I mean, yeah, it's like, I mean, discipline, we know discipline's a problem there. I mean, it's not as bad now because, you know, Punk has gone, so things have calmed down. But I mean, really, I mean, Britt Baker, to write that publicly, venting her frustration, I don't blame her. But I mean, take it up with the boss. You know, take it up with the boss. You know, and that's the only way that anything's going to change. Maybe he won't listen to you. He probably won't. But at least try and speak to him about it. I mean, I don't know, Kenny. It's like, it's not right, but at the same time, I don't think Britt Baker's much of a promo. So, you know, it's hard for me to really root for her.
But if, if you've got top women, they need to be put in the position. They need to, you know, you need to be given some time to get better. You're never going to get better if you're just sitting on the side. I mean, because Britt Baker was over. She was very over in AEW.
Yeah, she was. That's right. Yeah. A little DMD thing at the end, very over. So, I mean, yeah, she needs to, you know, Tony and her need to have a conversation. And because she's not injured, is she?
No.
And it's like, well, are you going to use me? Am I going to, you know, try and regain some of my, you know, stardom that has diminished recently? And, you know, there's definitely, you know, opportunities there for someone like Britt Baker to do more. But it's up to your, you know, your booker to give you those opportunities. So I guess she's just venting, and who can blame her? You know, if I was working there, I'd be venting as well.
Last thing I wanted to ask you about was something that had come out this week, which was interesting. Fightful Selected said that apparently, you know, there was the AEW had put together a sort of panel who were to decide whether CM Punk was going to stay in AEW or not.
Oh yeah, I did read about this, Kenny. Yeah.
Yeah, so one of the people who was on the panel, along with kind of legal people and stuff, was Brian Danielson. He was said to have effectively headed up the committee, and one source described him as an appropriate moral compass who exemplifies objectivity. And it's believed that he addressed the roster about Punk, described the decision to let him go as difficult, cited a long friendship with Punk and the positives, but admitted the decision had to be made. And then kind of on social media ahead of Punk's return on Raw, which I guess seems like it's about this, Danielson tweeted out, said, "My dad always told me the right thing is often the hardest thing to do. It won't always make the most money. It won't always be the most popular, but it's still the right thing." So, I mean, I guess the question is, I mean, he does seem like a very level-headed person, but should a member of talent be on a panel to decide the fate of another talent?
Well, I mean, I thought after Punk was fired that this was Tony's decision. He came out, didn't he? And, you know, made this statement verbally.
Youth life.
Yeah, that's it, on TV. And then there was a written statement also. And I thought this was Tony Khan's decision. And it was this sort of moment where, wow, you know, Tony's taken a stand. You know, he's made a decision. You know, whether you agree with that decision or not, you know, he has made a decision here and he has taken action. So, you know, let's, you know, compliment him, praise him for that, for actually being a leader. You know, you can then spend half an hour talking about all the things he should have done previously to prevent the situation from happening that did happen at Wembley. But anyway, that's by the by at this point. That's, you know, but I mean, Tony, I thought Tony was taking responsibility for that decision. So this is new information that appears to contradict what we were told after All In. So I don't really know what to make of that. And as far as Brian Danielson, yeah, I mean, people respect him, so I can understand why he would be put in the position of being effectively a locker room leader who was making or contributing to decisions like this. I absolutely get that. And I do believe that morally, you know, he's very sound. He's a rational person. He's somebody that you would want on your team. He's someone whose opinion you can absolutely respect. He's not going to make knee-jerk reactions and fly off the handle and do all these things that some people do. You know, we've all been guilty of that. I've certainly done things like that when I've been younger, in my younger years, Kenny. You know, so, yeah, I mean, you know, Danielson's a respected guy with a lot of experience in many different companies. So I can understand why he would be in that position to contribute to that decision, as I've already said. But I don't really understand how this, you know, this is not consistent with the information that we were given directly by Tony Khan, is it?
Yeah. So it's difficult to know. I mean, I do think there is a conflict of interest when you have a talent on a panel to decide about another talent. It's a strain. I mean, I think luckily in this situation, I don't think Danielson is someone who is the sort of person who would use a vendetta in that kind of scenario.
No, but I don't either. I don't. I think, you know, I don't either. I don't think he's a spiteful person. I don't think he's got a spiteful bone in his body.
No. But at the same time, it does raise the questions of, you know, having wrestlers as EVPs and then having wrestlers on panels to decide. But I mean, I guess that part of the issue is, you know, as you have, you know, you've written about Tony Khan in the new Inside the Ropes magazine, but one of the things is he, you know, he in some ways, he does take help, and in other ways, he doesn't. I mean, we saw this week that QT Marshall has resigned from AEW because he wants to be a wrestler, and AEW were not, I mean, affording him that opportunity, so he wants to go somewhere else.
Why does he want to be a wrestler?
But he did say that he thought that AEW were going a creative direction he wasn't that interested in, and that they were trying to be more like New Japan now.
Yeah, well, that's fair enough. I mean, no one can argue with that, with the tournament that's underway at the moment.
Yep. So, yeah, lots of stuff going on. But at least with Danielson, although there probably is a conflict of interest, at least they picked someone who is, like you say, not a spiteful bone in his body. So
yeah, well, that's how I view him anyway. He does seem very rational, level-headed guy.
Yes.
That big picture consciousness. So, I mean, you know, but there are people for years, and actually someone wrote into Q&A in the latest issue of the magazine about this, you know, will there ever be a wrestler's union? And I spent a long time on the answer, by the way. So check that one out in the magazine. And, you know, and I think, you know, I stand by that answer. There isn't a word in that answer that I would change, and I don't really have anything to add to it other than this. That if you say you had a union, chances are the head of that union would either be a current or former wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, someone like Bryan Danielson, you could actually imagine him being in that position, couldn't you?
Yeah, you could see that being in his future, for sure.
You know, if this were to happen, I don't believe it will, but if it were, you could imagine that Danielson would be somebody who would be the head of that. So, I mean, you know, he's kind of there working with management. So, you know, it's us versus them and that type of thing. So, you know, Danielson is there in management, but is he acting in the best interest of the company, or is he acting in the best interest of locker room morale? And that's a tricky, you know, conversation to have, but you could debate that all day. And I don't really know. But I mean, he feels like, you know, apparently he felt that was the right decision, and that Punk should no longer be part of AEW. And yet Jack Perry is. So that's the other thing, Kenny, that I don't get about this.
Yeah.
Sack CM Punk, right, for doing what he did after he was provoked by Jack Perry on the pre-show at the Wembley event. And Perry's now suspended but still being paid. So that's the other thing, you know. Okay, yeah, Punk was out of order, but there was going to be a response. He had to respond to what Perry did. As we talked about this at the time, he's a senior wrestler and Perry was the junior member of the roster.
Yeah.
So, you know, Punk had to respond to that. He just had to. So I think that there is also sort of complicates the matter of, yeah, Punk was out of order, he was out of line, but so was Perry for instigating that. And why is Perry still under contract and still being paid? So if you start drilling down into it, Kenny, yeah, it becomes problematic for Danielson. And did he recommend that Perry be fired? Do we know? Well, he hasn't been. So, yeah, on one hand, I can understand why Danielson did what he did. But if you look further, you delve deeper into this, you know, it provokes, you know, many questions as to, well, yeah, you did this, but why didn't you do that as well? Why is Perry still under contract? To me, he should have been fired before Punk. Yeah, and I tell you, Kenny, if I was on that advisory committee, he would have been fired.
Yeah, it's gonna be rough for young Jack Perry when he gets back.
That would have he would have been gone that night.
Yeah, it was. Although I do hope there is part of me that hopes that at one point, you know, in the Seth Rollins CM Punk promo, that you know Punk's going off on him and Seth just says, "Oh, cry me a river," you know. It'd be a great line to just pull out of the bag. So reclaim it.
That line is going will have to be used.
Yeah.
We demand that line be used. We demand it.
Yeah. but anyway, that is all the time we've got for today. We'll be back next Tuesday with what's going down. And we'll maybe talk a little bit about AEW TV because I know we've not really spoken about anything recently, so we'll kind of get your feel, Finn, for anything that you've kind of seen that you think has been working or not, and go through that as well as Ron SmackDown. So we'll do that on Tuesday. But yeah, the PowerSlam yearbook 1994 is available. It is going fast. So you do want to get your copy as soon as you can at powerslammagazine.com. And, you know, the thing is, to put this in perspective, I said this before, if you were to go on eBay and try and buy issues 1 to 6 of PowerSlam, you know, issue 1 tends to go for about 70 quid minimum. Issue 2, which I bought not too long ago, was 30.
Right.
And 3 to 6 are about 25. So, I mean, you're talking maybe 300 quid, 400 quid if you want to get those 6 issues potentially. And you can get them all in a book form. It can sit on your shelf and it's only 30 quid. So it's a great price. And, you know, I think with magazines, it's always tough to display magazines.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to collect stuff. So now having the book form, it can be on your bookshelf.
And it's absolutely. Great Christmas present.
Yes. Yes. Great Christmas present. If we do say so ourselves, that's with it, no yeah, bias that's whatsoever. It.
We're not exactly objective observers here.
No, we're not. We're not. You know,
we do have a vested interest in this, but no, we're already excited about starting work on the next one, which we're going to be doing early next year. And I'm already, you know, batting around ideas for some new content in that. You know, it's obviously a new introduction in the PowerSlam Yearbook 1994, but we're all really motivated for the second one, and really excited about, you know, next year and do more of these and, you know, just, you know, making it work, you know, putting out real quality stuff. You know, that's what we're all about here. Quality.
100%. And people, you know, people have already been talking about, they're looking forward to the 95 books. And, you know, we should mention, you know, as we go on, I think these are going to get better and better, because by the time we get to 96 and 97 and 98, it's like, there's so much stuff. And, you know, you can kind of, and you know, this will sound like I'm being biased, but I bought all these magazines, so I think I can say this with kind of a bit of authority. But like, when you see all these documentaries on the Attitude Era and stuff that's going, you know, the story that's kind of narrated now, and in the PowerSlam magazines, you actually get the real stories of what was going on at the time during all these things, and you know, the mood at the time of when things are happening, and you know, real analysis from Finn about, you know, Hogan turning heel, or WrestleMania 14, or, you know, it jumps, you know, the Montreal Screwjob. Everything is there, and it's done in detail with analysis. I think if you've read it before, you're going to get a real sort of nostalgia kick. And if you've not read it before, I think you're going to be kind of blown away by it. So I'm looking forward to the future volumes.
Yeah, and, you know, just the old rise and fall of WCW was, you know, 95 when Nitro launched, September of 95, and just observing everything just unfolding in 96 with Hall and Nash going over, and then Hogan turning heel at Bash of the Beach 96, and you know, this whole shift from WWF being number one to WCW being number one, and just then WWE's recovery and rebuilding phase in 97 leading to this, you know, massive explosion in its popularity in 98. So yeah, it's a very exciting time, and you know, we were covering it every month. So but yeah, we'll be putting those out in time, and you know, there'll be new stuff as well in the yearbooks. So I'm looking forward to, you know, sinking my teeth into that.
Yeah, 100%. And you know, people have asked for this for years, and it's finally happening. So yeah, we're very, very excited about it. Very happy that it's been so well received, as it would be, because you know, PowerSlam was a. It's funny when we recorded the stuff for the trailer. You know, there'd be points where, you know, which obviously didn't make the cut, because it would just be us gushing to Finn about the magazine, and Finn's just sitting there going, Yeah, it was good. It was good. It was good to do it. And we're like, yeah. No, but it was had a cultural impact. That it was like a Bible to us. And he's going, uh-huh, yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was the weird thing at the time. And, you know, I don't know whether I'd covered this in the Palestine years or not. But it's when you're on that, you know, you're on that ride and it's going so fast. And, you know, sometimes you just don't really understand what's going on because, you know, the treadmill or whatever, the merry-go-round's going so fast that you've got tunnel vision for the next issue. And you're not really thinking about things like, well, how are people reacting to this? You're really just looking at your next issue and just then moving on to your next issue because the whole cycle never ends. So, it's a weird time. It was a weird time of my life, and very exciting as well, and very challenging, very trying at times. But you will be able to read all about it in the 1994 yearbook and future yearbooks as well.
Yes, so we look forward to that. So yeah, PowerSlideMagazine.com, the books arrive with us, I think it'll either be tomorrow or Monday. So they will be going out next week. So,
brilliant.
You know, people will be receiving their books before people have already ordered, depend when you ordered, you know, books will start arriving by the end of next week. So, and you know, like I said before, we insist on them being tracked and signed books. Because, you know, we can't have these getting lost in the post. We have to make sure they get to it. And it also, if you're like me, and when something's on the way, you kind of like to track where it is if you can. And just make sure you know, because you can know what day you need to be in. So that, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I'm just trading in one of my guitars for another guitar. And, you know, so that was like DPD, had to collect that, and that was a big process, and just the box itself to send the guitar in cost over £20, you know, and it was like, I can't remember how much it cost to send it, but the guitar was quite a pricey guitar, so yeah, you take those chances when things are valuable, you know. These yearbooks are valuable, obviously.
Yeah, 100%. So yeah, we hope that you will check it out and purchase it, and then, you know, in the new year we'll be working on the next one. So yeah, plenty of good stuff to come. So I want to thank you for all your support. Patreon, I say this a lot, but it's true. Patreon is the way that these podcasts exist. So if you're able to support us over there, it would be much appreciated. Patreon.com/InsideTheRopes. We do bonus podcasts. This month we looked at the original War Games match. Sondra and I do retro weekly Raw and SmackDown shows from 20 years ago. Finn comes on to the pay-per-views. We just did Survivor Series. We do, you know, current stuff as well. We do the Overrun. Obviously, we look back at old issues of PowerSlam. So, you know, there's stuff pretty much every day that goes out. So we hope that you'll give us a shot. Patreon.com/InsideRopes. Finn, I hope you have a great weekend. Whatever you're getting up to.
Mostly working, Kenny.
Right. Well, all work, no play makes Jack a dull boy. But...
mostly working. Yeah, I've nearly finished my Cornette interview. I'm looking at it now, it's on 5,968 words, but I'm on my last question.
There you go, you're on your last question. All will be well. The Cornette interviews are always a highlight when F. Martin and JC get together. Not John Cena. Jesus Christ. Jim Cornette!
That probably would be a highlight as well.
we want to thank you for all your support, everybody, as always, and we'll talk to you soon. If I'm sad tonight,
need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.